All right. Good morning again, everybody. Welcome to the conclusion here of our series on living in freedom. And it is also, today is the last of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I'll admit this has been the toughest week for me, all right? So, but we are at the end of this fast, and man, it's just been incredible. I hope that and pray that what God has been speaking to you and showing you during this time, just pray that it just continues to send you forth into this year like never before. And how many of just, even through this series, man, is this helping anybody? Has this series been helpful? Awesome. Well, we're glad for that, and I do believe it may be one of the most important series that we've done all year, and just what we are hearing from different people as well. And I just encourage, if you've missed any part of this series, get on the app, go online, check out some of the messages, and just pray, and it'll be helpful for you, because we really are believing for a different life in 2017. We're believing that 2018, when it comes time for that, because that'll be here before you know it anyways, but some of the things that we may have had on our resolution list over the last few years ain't going to be on there anymore because of what God has done in your life. Amen? And so that's just what we're believing for. So John chapter 8, I want to get right into the message, because we're going to end this series. We're going to end, even though we've got today as our final day, as our fasting. I just, as I was praying this week, felt real directed by the Lord just to kind of end this service a little bit different. And so just relax. If you're new with us, again, here with us, we're nice people, all right? We really are. And so just want you to know that. So we're going to end it a little bit different, and it'll be good. I think it'll really bless you as well. But let's get into this. John chapter 8, verse 31. And again, Jesus is talking here. He's addressing believers. And he said to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." All right, so it's kind of the first lesson. Second lesson, he says, then, everybody say then. Then you will know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. In other words, that when we understand the truth, all right, that we go through a process with the Lord, through our personal time with God, whether it be here at church, whether it be in small groups, that we allow the truth to set us free, to replace that old life with the new life that God has. Amen. Goes on to say, they answered him. Again, these are Christians he's talking to. It says, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. And how can you say that we shall be set free?" All right, and one of the truths that we learned in the first week of this series is that you can't believe that you can be free unless you first believe that you can be in bondage to something. All right, so it's important to realize that we all have things within our life that we're struggling with. We're working things out with the Lord, all right? And Jesus replied and said, "Very truly, I tell you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And so if the Son sets you free," help me read the last part of this verse, church, "you will be free indeed." Freedom. Everybody say freedom. So then the first week of this series, we just talked about the struggle that is. A lot of times that it's you know, the enemy, but between the things of the enemy and the things of this world can pull us away from staying connected to God like we need to be. And so we talked about in that first week about being spirit-led, and that we are triune beings, spirit, soul, and body, and that one of those is always looking to be in charge. One of them is in charge. And so we talked about how, you know, the importance of feeding your spirit and being spirit-led. And then the second week, we talked about the truth, that scripture we just read, the truth that will set us free. For some of us, we may have been coming into this year and we're noticing some of the same things we have on our goals list or resolution list that we've had in previous years. Sometimes it's one thing, sometimes it's a few things that can trip us up. So how do we finally overcome those things in Jesus' name? So we talked about allowing the truth of God to bring freedom to our lives. And then last week, I think just a very important message is we talked, it was really just titled, "It Closed the Door," that there are three different doors that the enemy tries to work through. I'm going to read that scripture in just a minute, but how he is someone that is not creative, all right? So I'm going to get to that in just a second. But so the heart of this message here today as we close this series out is staying free. And I think this is what I realize and this is what I know, is that this series can help us. I believe it can. I believe it has. And it can be very beneficial to us. The other part that's going to be important is going on the journey with the Lord in small groups and getting connected with people. And we'll talk more about that. But here's what I know within this series, and this is what happens, is if we're not careful, we can start reverting back to the things that we came out of. And it's not the will of God for you to go back to the bondage, to go back to the addictions. And so I don't know about you, but man, I don't want to go back from the things that God has set me free from. Amen, everybody? So I think the importance is, and part of my job is to try to help us understand, how do we stay free and how do we keep going forward and not continuing to be tripping up? And I want to just talk to you about this verse in Luke 11, because really Jesus gave us a warning verse. And he was warning us about this very thing I'm talking to you about, that really it's something Jesus kind of predicted could happen if we're not aware. So it's a warning verse, and it really it's a bummer verse. It's not one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's a bummer verse. It doesn't cheer me up, all right? It doesn't, and you're going to see why. Verse 24, here we go in Luke 11. It says, "When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. And then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they all enter the person and live there. And so that person, look at this, is worse off than before." And here's the dynamic. Here's what we miss in this verse is Jesus isn't sharing this to tell us what's going to happen. He's sharing this to tell us so that it doesn't happen. It's a warning verse. Everybody say it's a warning verse. And so Jesus is wanting us to pay attention and to let us know that there's a process of freedom that's happening in our life, and he wants to continue to help us along this journey so that we don't trip up, because being in bondage is not where I want to go back to, because freedom is, and living in freedom is so much better. Amen, everybody? And so we don't want to go back to that. And then Luke chapter 4, verse 13, I was reminded of this verse when I was praying this week. After Jesus was tempted by Satan himself, I think it's interesting, the last part of this moment that Jesus and Satan had was this. It says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, that he left him until an opportune time. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that if you follow along, I would underline that, do something so you don't forget that, because that's what the enemy is wanting to do, to return back to an opportune time, where he may try to find us at a weak point or whatever it may be. But here's what I know. When you think you've experienced freedom, listen to me very clearly, the freedom fight is not over. When you think you've experienced freedom, the freedom fight is not over. And so it will be a problem, though, and potentially going back if you're not aware that this could happen, and if you're not equipped. So we're going to get equipped, and we're going to get ready for what God wants for us in order so that we can continue on in freedom in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? And so three things I want to just remind you of this morning. First of all, you need to remember this about your enemy, that he's a liar. He's a liar, and there's no truth in him. The Bible says in John chapter 8 that it's his native language. It's who he is. You read that verse, you'll see the theme. He's a liar. And so you need to know one of his weapons against you and I is his constant lies to try to get you and I into a place to believing the lies. But remember, it's the truth that will set us free. Here's the next thing that you need to know about your enemy is that he is predictable. Oh, yeah. He is very predictable. And let me say it really just kind of this way, as I've been saying throughout this series, that there is nothing within the enemy that is creative. God is the only creative one, amen? And so what Satan seeks to do is to pervert everything that God has created. So he's predictable. We looked at this last week. I wanted to just kind of remind us of this because we want to keep the doors closed. In 1 John chapter 2, it says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world," here it is, these are the doors we talked about last week, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." And so the world and its desires are going to pass away. If you seek after the world and its pleasures and its desires, it's going to pass away. Does it, again, necessarily mean a physical death? But it does mean maybe the death of dreams and visions, the terrorizing of our families and marriages and the loss of joy. And so this is not something, obviously, that we want to pursue. But whoever really kind of figures out these doors, keeps them closed, whoever does the will of God lives forever. And then here's the third thing that you need to just be reminded about your enemy, that he is defeated. Everybody say the enemy's defeated.
He's defeated. He's defeated. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be intimidated. God has already overcome. All right? So he's defeated. Jesus said this in Luke 10, verse 19. He said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Again, snakes and scorpions are just represent the demonic. And to overcome, look at this, to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. All the power. When you step into a relationship with Jesus, guess what? And his spirit living on the inside of you, man, you have the authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. And nothing can hurt you. Nothing can touch you. And I was thinking about this next verse that I want to share with you out of Revelation chapter 12, because this is something that, man, the Lord just kind of put on my heart this week. And I was praying over it, and I realized why I wanted to share it with you this morning. And I'm actually going to read verse 12 before I read verse 11. Just going to kind of flip the order here. But it says, therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. His time is short. He ain't got much time. And so he's trying to do everything he can to oppose, to resist everything God is trying to do in your life. Let me say it this way. Satan hates that we've been doing this series because Satan is fearful of a Christian who is free and who is effective. Now, if the enemy can just keep us comfortable in a chair and just do Sunday church and that be it, he's fine with that. But once you start taking some steps in freedom, and once you start figuring out the call of God in your life, and you start becoming effective and start making a difference, you know what that does? It puts fear in him. And the Bible says his time is short. Here's what I also realize that means for you and I, that we also have a short time to proclaim the truth, which is why God needs us to become free so that we can be all that God wants us to be and make a difference right here in Fort Wayne and beyond in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? But then it goes on to say in verse 11, and it says, and we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. It is through the blood of Jesus, everybody, and what he did on the cross over 2,000 years ago is how we overcome. That we are victorious because of the blood that was shed on that cross for you and for me. So we can be victorious. And then I love the second part of that, the word of our testimony and staying, in other words, staying faithful to the word, staying faithful to the call of God in our life and continuing to do what God has called us and put in us to do. This is how we overcome. Amen. And so realize that and understand, and you're going to get this by the end of this service today, the authority that you really do carry. I think we just miss out on this part in our Christian life, and so I want to help us with that today. And I'll just say this, if you're new to the things of God, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service to come into a relationship with him, to know him and experience Jesus in a powerful way, all right? Galatians chapter 5, such a great verse. Says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Everybody say, stand firm. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Again, in other words, I'm not going back to that junk. I'm going to stay on the course of freedom. Freedom. And staying on the course of men, understanding that what God has delivered me from, what he has brought me out of, I'm not interested in going back to that mess. For what? More sleepless nights? What? More discouragement? What? No more hope again? No, thank you. I'm going to accept the freedom and the life that God has for me in Jesus' name. And so here's what I know about freedom, though. It comes, I think, in two forms, and this is important that we've got to understand this. First of all, is there's a moment that I think that we have, and a moment that we experience freedom in our life. And really the biblical term of that would be deliverance, that there's a moment that we have of true deliverance that we know, man, I've experienced God and God has done something supernatural in me and I know I'm not the same. But here's the second thing that I think that we miss, and this is why oftentimes I feel like we start tripping back up again and why we really, that verse that we just read earlier that Jesus warned us about, that we can go back into that thing if we're not careful. But here's the other word, and that's discipleship. Because freedom, listen to me, everybody, it's a journey. You don't just arrive, it's a journey, it's a process. Can I just encourage you to this? Value the process of God. value his process, his journey that he has for your life. We're all on a journey. Everybody say, I'm on a journey. Every one of us are on a journey. All of our journeys just look a little bit different, all right? And so in a couple weeks here, 2 weeks from today, we're having our rally day for our small groups. And I just encourage you to get plugged into a small group. There's one group that I tell people, everyone, you know, in our church, leaders, non-leaders, doesn't matter. Get in the Freedom Group at some point this year. Whether it's this spring when we start this in 2 weeks or whether it's in the fall when we have them again, and that's the Freedom Group. We have three different Freedom Groups that's going to be happening now. If everybody does it at the same time, we won't have room. But I'm just encouraging you to dive in the winter, spring semester or the fall and join us. And it's ended with the Freedom Conference. And the Freedom Group is not a moment. The Freedom Group is discipleship. It's a process that week by week, it's like an onion. It's kind of how I've described it. It's layer by layer. Things are just getting peeled back, you know, so that God can bring the healing and the freedom that we need. And so value the process. So I want to take a story out of Luke chapter 15. And this is a story about the prodigal son. But this is going to kind of help set us up for staying free. And we're going to kind of work with this. So it says this in verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons, and a few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And look at this. And there he wasted all his money. Everything he had, everything he was given, it's gone on wild living. And about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. Jot this down if you're following along in our notes. One of the most important things in staying free is staying honest. Stay honest. Stay honest. Admit that you need help. You know, one of the things that we talked about last week is that word integrity. And it doesn't mean, integrity doesn't mean to be perfect. It means to be honest. And so, can I tell you one of the most courageous things that you could do? One of the most courageous things you and I could ever do is admit that we've messed up and we need some help. Amen, everybody? Amen? And so it's just being honest. It's just being honest. And it's so important. Let's continue to go on in this story here, verse 15. The young son here again, he's lost everything now. He's miserable. He said he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. I mean, no, that's a tough place to be, where the food of the pigs even start looking good. Lord have mercy. But no one gave him anything when he finally, look at this, finally came to his senses. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants, man, they got it better than me right here with the pigs, that's for sure. They got enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. If you try to fix your life yourself, you're going to end up feeding pigs. Yeah. And every one of us needs to have a moment, I believe this, with God. And it starts with our heart and with the Lord. A moment that we just say, enough's enough. I'm not going to continue to journey down this way anymore. I'm not going to continue to do this. Enough's enough. I'm tired of the same old thing that's trying to have a hold of my life. No more. I've had it. And a moment or a time that where we come to our senses, that we realize, man, I cannot do this alone any longer. I cannot overcome this thing by myself. I need you. And so you and I will never be set free if you first don't admit that there's a problem. And we have to be honest. And so can I tell you one of the secrets behind our small groups? This is really the secret. The secret is not learning curriculum. And we have all different types of small groups and sports and just because it's interest-driven and it's awesome. But the goal, and you know, we help to provide curriculum, and that's great. And so I'm for all that. Obviously, we want to help resource. But let me say this. The secret of our small groups is relationships. That's what we want for people. That's our biggest prayer, is that people begin to have relationships with each other, and that by the end of the semester that we're all leaving with at least a friend. Amen? And so that's the hope. I love how C.S. Lewis said it. He said this, friendship is born at the moment when one man says to another, what? You too? I thought that no one but myself. Now, that may not make a lot of sense at first, but here's what he meant by that, is you're sitting in a small group, and man, the guy across from me starts talking about this, the very same thing I'm going through. And that's part of that iron sharpening iron kind of moment. Like, man, you got that struggle too? So do I. You know, and it's like a light bulb moment. Come on, man. You know, and we can get honest. And we can just be transparent and authentic with one another, not try to act like stuff's not going on when stuff is going on. I'm just telling you, God wants to use people as well. And we're going to see that here in just a minute, because that's what really goes into my second point. And, you know, we have a saying here at Elevate that life change happens in the context of relationships, but life change happens in the context of authentic, being honest in relationships. Here's why we need each other, because we're all one step away from stupid. Mm-hmm. That's a good word, Pastor. Somebody tweet that out in Jesus' name. You can put your little picture Instagram around that, all right? It's true. Here's the second thing I know is we got to stay accountable. We got to be quick to repent to God, be quick to repent to others. I love the word repentance. It's powerful, and often we miss kind of its meaning. One of the meanings of that word repentance means to turn from something to something, so it's a change of direction. So if this is my mess, I'm turning from that, and I'm turning my back on it and turning over to God. Then the word repent is kind of two words put together. Love this. It's the word metanoia. The word meta just means change. The word noia just means change your mind. So repentance is also a process of changing your mind. We've been talking a lot about that. And just getting the good programming in our minds and filtering out the bad according to Scripture. Luke 15:18, look at this. The young boy, he's got a moment here. And he says, I'm going to go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven, both God and you. In other words, he understood he couldn't be free by just he and God working it out. The biggest, and let me just expose this, the biggest misconception in Christianity, I believe today, is when I'm going through something, me and God got this. I don't need your help. I'm good. Yeah, pray for me, but pray for me at a distance, brother. I don't want to talk about it. You know, and it's just, and we have these moments. It's true. But let me just tell you, that's not God's system, and he's not going to move that way. All right? And so God has a role, and people have a role. God's role is to do what people cannot do, and that is to forgive you of sin, all right? And then people, let me show you this part of where people, their role in your life is so huge. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be, say it with me, healed. That's it. So God's system and his desire is that we would go run to him for forgiveness, and that we would go to people, that God would help use people to bring healing in our life. It's his word. I'm going to take him at his word. Amen, everybody? So God designed it that way. And the real key in accountability is relationship. Because here's the deal. I know that we are only as sick as our secrets. People need to know. You need to have someone in your life that loves Jesus as much as you do, that's going to encourage you, love you, but also be honest with you. Amen? Here's the third thing. You got to know this. Reject the lies of the enemy. Reject the lies of Satan. Because as we continue to journey forth, he's going to try to say some things that get you to believe. You got to reject the lies in Jesus' name. Don't buy into those lies. Here we go in verse 25. Now we're talking about the older son. So here's his older brother, which I think it's interesting that this part of the story is highlighted. So don't miss this. So the older son was in the fields working. He returned home, and he heard a party going on. He was like, man, there is music, loud music. It is, the bass is bumping. Like, what is happening at this house? There's dancing going, like, what is going on? He asked the servants. He said, what's up? They said, your brother's back. He was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in, and his father came out and begged him. But he answered his father, look, notice the little attitude going on here. All these years, he said, I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. All right, now unless you Jesus, that's just not true, brother. So you've lied, all right, and you lied right there, all right? And he goes on to say, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. I mean, just look at it, just the complaining, the whining. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And you know, the interesting thing about this is in the Jewish culture, this oldest son and any older, the oldest son in any family would always receive an inheritance of double. So he actually had 2/3 of the estate while his younger brother had 1/3. And here he's complaining about a goat. Y'all with me so far? Okay, you with me? It's just, I'm thinking, brother, you know. So anyway, you know, and I wanted to share this story with you. Pastor Billy Hornsby, who is the founder of ARC, Association of Related Churches, our church planting network that we're part of that's helped us. Many years ago, when he was a young boy, and he since went on to be with the Lord about five or so years ago. But he, as a young boy in school, it was one day that he was in his math class, and teacher called him up to work out a problem, solve the problem. So he went up to the chalkboard, he wrote down the answer, and then he sat back down. And his teacher looked at him and said, Hornsby, that answer's wrong. He said, no, it's not. It's right. She said, it's wrong because you forgot to show your work. How many of y'all hated that in school? I got so many answers wrong because I didn't show my work. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so he didn't handle that real well. He said, my attitude was not, it was not respectful. And he kind of mouthed a little bit. And then she got infuriated and pointed at him in front of all the classroom and said, Billy, you will never amount to anything in your life. I mean, just in a moment's time, man, the lie of the enemy, and he checked out. Checked out. So for the next few years, he heads into high school. He gets a girl pregnant in high school, and they end up getting married at a very young age, and he's trying to figure out this journey now, what he's going to do, so much so that trying to make money for his family, he ends up playing in an old country western bar in Louisiana until 3 a.m. every day. And he'd do that just to make money. And so living without the Lord. And so finally one day he kind of got the courage to go into, there was a new chemical refinery that was around his area where he lived. So he goes and he fills out the application, fills out the testing and the questionnaire that they had. And he left that day. He said, man, I know that I bombed it. It was awful. I know I'm not going to get this job. And he said the next day he got a phone call. They said, Mr. Hornsby, would you come back in? We'd love to talk to you a little bit further. And he just kind of chuckled. He said, I know I did horrible on this. You don't have to. Listen, don't even waste your time because I know it was not good. And they said, actually, no, Mr. Hornsby, we really do want to talk to you if you'll come in. And he said, all right, you know, what do I have to lose? So he goes in that next day. He sits before the employer, and they look at him. And they said, Mr. Hornsby, we just first of all want to let you know we have never seen someone at your age test as high as you did. Your scores were unlike anything we've ever seen. And the employer looked at him, pointed his finger at him, said, I want to tell you something. I said, if you'll put your mind to it, you can do anything. And at that moment, checked right back in. Checked right, because all of a sudden, he rejected the lie of the enemy. He thought, man, and also having someone believe in him again. So a year or so later, he gets saved, and God calls him into the ministry. He and his family moved to Europe. They go plant, man, a bunch of churches there, come back to the United States, plant some more churches, and then, oh, by the way, founded this great organization called ARC, who's helped to plant now over 600 churches. And you know what happened? He had a moment where he believed the lie. But just like that, we need to reject the lies of the enemy. And for some of us, it may not even be the enemy. It may have been what man or woman has tried to tell you, what you are, what you're not going to be. And so Jesus' name, I just speak over you life today and reject the lie in Jesus' name. Don't receive that as truth. God's opinion is the only one that matters in your life, everybody, all right? Forget what people are saying and what they're thinking about you. You just stay focused on the applause of heaven for your life, all right? So I want to encourage you with that. In verse 31, powerful moment, don't miss it. So in the midst of his attitude, his complaining, his whining, look how the father represents, how he responds, say it that way. It says, my son, the father said, you are always with me. Look at this. And everything I have is yours. That's a father. And here's the fourth thing. receive today God's love, receive his truth. Verse 22, it says, but the father said to his servants, quick. Man, this is a father. Look at this. He said, bring the best. Bring the best robe. Bring it here. Bring my boy's coming home. Let's get the best and put it on him. And then put a ring on his finger and then sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let's party. Yeah, he's coming back home. So other people, his older son didn't understand this. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. See, what happens oftentimes for us is you and I don't see things as they are. We see things as we see ourselves. And everything you see in life is going to go through this filter of the view that you have of yourself. And that's where we get discouraged, and that's where we start messing up. So let me just kind of help really what that kind of means. Notice the father said, put the best robe. Get the best robe. Let's put him on it. And this is what God says to us. When we come into a relationship with him, he sees you as righteous. He sees you as clean. Did you hear me? He sees you as forgiven. And you need to know today that Jesus took care of your sins on the cross, past, present, future. You're forgiven, you're free, everybody. You say, man, well, how do I change? Man, pastor, like, how do I change it? What do I do? You have to see yourself as Jesus sees you, forgiven, righteous, clean, set free, full of freedom. That's you. That's you, everybody. And don't let anybody or no devil in hell try to tell you any different. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. So put on the robe today. Put it on. He's putting on the robe. Then the second thing that he did, he said, I want to put a ring on his finger. Come here, let's put the ring on his finger. Come here. All right, let's put it on his finger. Now, if you've watched, if you go back to the story in Joseph and Pharaoh gave Joseph a ring. I think it's also in the movie Ben-Hur. I was trying to remember the name of the movie. It was a signet ring. And so on the ring was kind of this image, and it was kind of like cash or a credit card in that day. So when you would pay for something, you would just imprint the ring. And so it represents authority. So when you get saved, God says, I'm gonna place a ring on your finger. And you have access to the most powerful name in the universe, and that's Jesus. So listen, when it comes time to tell the devil, no more messing around, you gotta get out of my life, he's gotta get out of your life. Why? Because you wear the ring. Authority is in your life. You know, I have from time to time, I enjoy praying with people. Sometimes they think pastors have more or something. It's just not true because we're all human. We all got our stuff. But you know, one thing I do understand I have is the ring. I know I have the authority. So when I pray with people, I just say, man, I'm going to come in agreement with you because you have it too. Y'all getting this? And so when you tell the devil he's got to go, like he literally has to exit. Well, pastor, I think he's still there. No, he's only there because you think he's still there. So when you say in the name of Jesus, devil, you've got to leave me, get off my family, get out of my job, get out of my life. I'm tired of it. You got to go. Listen, you still may think he's there, but he's leaving. And he may be talking to you even as he's going. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to continue to bother you. I'm going to continue to work in your family. I'm going to continue. And at some point, guess what? He's gone. Are you getting this today? I'm just trying to tell you the authority. You're wearing the ring of authority. Realize, man, who your God is. In the last part, he said, get the shoes, man. Get him some Jordans. We got to lace them up. Lace them up. Because he's had a long journey. His feet are nasty. They're dirty. I mean, he's been walking in pig feces and everything. So let's clean the feet first. Then let's lace them up. You know what those shoes represent, those sandals? Peace. Comfort. Man, thank you, Lord, for who you are. That is the love of a father. He looks at you and sees you clean and free. Your past no longer has to determine your future. Your family history doesn't have to determine your future. Generations, the curse can be broken, and it is. Once you step in that relationship with God, you just got to know and you got to believe it's done. Amen, everybody? So here's what we're going to do. We're gonna go into a time of worship in just a moment. But I want to pray. If you would, just bow your heads right where you're at. Father, I know you're working. I know you are. You are evident in this place. We feel your presence. God, you're here. You are here. You've been with us every week. So many of us have been desperate. We've been writing on our connection cards and things personally. God, we're just believing for freedom and breakthrough. So Lord, I speak, let the journey continue to go forward now. May we realize that we need you. May we realize we need people. We need our small groups as well, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just declare freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to give you an opportunity right here. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a relationship with him right now in this room, I just want you to be honest. This is a great time to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you've drifted from God. I want to encourage you right now. You're here because God knew you were going to be here. And I'm just telling you, he loves you. He is for you. For some, maybe today, we just need to recommit our hearts as well to the Lord. Come on, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. Be bold. Jesus was bold to go to that cross for you and I. Let's be bold for him. One, two, three. All over this place. Amen. That's me. That's me. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Come on, just pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I give you my heart, and I declare today I am saved and set free. In Jesus' name, amen.